Father, again, in the Lord's great name, trust that he'll feel at home tonight. The Lord will take away all fear and nervousness, and the Lord will bless him as he seeks to bring God's word and to share what the Lord has done for him. The Lord bless you.
Truly, I can say tonight, I am the bread of life, and I am the true vine. And I can add that tonight, folks, I am a blood-bought child of Almighty God. It's great to be here this evening. And if you have the precious word of God with you this evening, can I invite you to turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 34. What a great passage of scripture this has been to me. Truly we'll see in this passage of scripture that the Lord saves and the Lord keeps. And praise the Lord tonight, he satisfies. Psalm chapter 34. When we're turning to that great passage of scripture, can I take this opportunity this evening to thank your pastor and the session of this church to have me here this evening to share a personal word of testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. And with the Lord's help tonight, I hope to speak in two fears, two dreams, and two promises. But let's listen to what the Lord has to say. Commencing to read at verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm a King James Version man. I don't believe in adding or taking away from the word of God. But what I have written in here is, I will bless my Lord. I've added in my. Salvation's a personal thing, folks. A personal thing. I will bless my Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto me, they looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Praise the Lord tonight. I can say, as what it says there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell you why, folks, because it's the power of God unto salvation. Love this next bit, folks. This is powerful. Here we see it, the Lord keeps. Verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 7, he keeps. The angel of the Lord campeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Not only do we see in verse 6, the Lord saves. Verse 7, the Lord keeps. But verse 8, the Lord satisfies. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Boys, that's powerful. 35 years, folks, you know, some I was tasting for the pleasures of this world. I could never find it. But let's finish it off. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And with the word of God open before us, just let's unite our hearts in a brief word of prayer and ask for the Lord's leading and the Lord's guidance here this evening. If you're a believer, I ask you to pray earnestly that the Spirit of God will ascend. This man knows the weakness. I cannot create an anxious thought. This man could not even save himself. But praise the Lord, I speak about one that can save. One that can keep, and praise the Lord, one that can satisfy. Let's pray. Our loving God and our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we stand before thee once again in amazement. Truly we can say tonight that it is no secret what God can do. What he's done in the life of this man, praise the Lord, tonight he can do in the life of these people. We ask, dear heavenly Father, that you be pleased, Lord, to come amongst us. Take away the fear of man, because the fear of man bringeth a snare. I haven't come with a snare here this evening. I've come with the good news of the gospel. Help me, Lord, to glorify and magnify and uplift thy precious name. I give myself afresh to thee. Strip me from self and from sin. And Lord, that old disease, Lord, of pride. Help me to uplift, glorify thy name, Lord. Help me to be like the psalmist David. Put unto me, Lord, that mighty power, Lord. And Lord, help me to speak as a dying man unto dying people. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. And let the God of my salvation be exalted here this evening. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that I've got a testimony to give to the saving power of my mighty Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Cover this building afresh in the blood, Lord. Any powers that from Satan tonight, Lord, may come to try to destroy this meeting, Lord. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll control the minds of these people. Help me to speak well of thee. Stand beside me now, Lord. And Lord, just uplift me, Lord. Give me that outer body experience, Lord. And Lord, above all things, Lord, I'm here to glorify thy mighty name. For thee alone, and thee alone's worthy. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Folks, I want to say something tonight. Not for £1 million would I have ever stood behind a pulpit speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for £1 million. Because you see, I thought this Christianity was for the softies, to be quite honest with you. That was against my image when I was growing up. But I thank the Lord tonight that I love it more than anything. I'm not going to go into my testimony too deep, folks, because I don't believe in giving any airtime whatsoever to Satan. That's the problem today in the pulpits. Man stands up to testify about Christ, what the Lord's done in his life. I don't hear much of it today. I hear a man boast and blow what he done. Satan does that enough in my private times, digging up my past. I haven't come here to talk about man or anything about key sheets, but I just want to say one thing, folks. You see, my ambition in life was just to be the big hard man. And truly, my wife's there tonight. There's many as a night I come home, nothing but blood over my shirt, folks. And I mean nothing but blood. If I hadn't been getting paid, I still would have been doing it because I loved it. That's what sin will do. It'll take you further than you want to go. And don't forget, this man that's speaking from this pulpit tonight was brought up in a very, and I mean a very godly home. Don't you think whenever you look high at the down and outers that they've got a hard upbringing? That's not the way it works. That's Satan playing with your mind. You see these people that's in jail, folks. Listen to me very carefully tonight. These people in a jail, they've been brought up in very godly homes. I tell you why I say that. 3 years ago, there was a young man called Fred McLennigan. He's probably heard about it in the news. Went down into Port Stewart, took a shotgun, and shot that young girl. Do you know who that young fellow was? Fred McLennigan. He was my cousin. I ask you to pray for Fred McLennigan tonight. I pray that you'll take that upon your souls to pray for that young man. I got in last year into the prison to speak to him. He's a broken man. Can't understand how he done it. Just like me. Brought up in a very godly home. His father preaches the gospel around the churches. I've seen it, folks. Outside the pubs and the clubs. I've seen men weep. Because they know how they shouldn't be what they're at. But you know something, folks? I stand here amazement tonight. I absolutely love that hymn. Though many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe this far, and it'll be grace will lead me home. I simply stand here before you tonight, folks, listen to me, as a trophy of grace of what the Lord Jesus Christ can do in a life. So then to God be the glory for great things he hath done in the life of Keith Shields. You know, I can say tonight, I love the Lord. I want to repeat that, folks. Keith Shields loves the Lord because the Lord first loved Keith Shields. That's powerful. I love that Psalm 91 and verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, listen to the Judah, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because, listen, he hath known my name. Keith Shields. The creator of this world knows Keith Shields. I can't understand what's wrong with Christians today. Not a bit wonder people don't want to give their lives to Christ. I had a man says something to me the other day. Is that man a Christian? Why's he always running around with a big sad face? Folks, do you realize what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you? Let's live it out. Let's let the people see it in their faces. Spurgeon says if you can't show it in the pulpit with tears, let's show it in your voice. That's powerful, folks. Absolutely powerful. And I'm just wondering tonight in this meeting, does the Lord Jesus Christ know your name? Of course he knows your name. That's an omnipotence of God, all-knowing and all-powerful. But what I am asking tonight, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven? Folks, Revelations 20 and 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into hell. Cast into hell, folks. Believer, does that not shake you up? Cast into hell. Where's the love for loved ones? Too late to be crying when you look into their casket. That's too late, folks. What about the prayer meetings? I'm not even going to go into tonight, folks. I'm a burdened man, believe you me. I see the state of the church. And I want to tell you something that's an awful state, folks. Listen, I'm a Free Presbyterian. Praise the Lord, I can speak tonight to the Free Presbyterians. Do you know what's happening, folks? There's a deadness in our church. Wow, that's serious to be saying that in our church. Listen to me. It's all the churches. No burden, no vision. Without a vision, what does the Bible say? People perish. What about the secret closets, folks, tonight? Let's face facts tonight. I haven't come to play church. I tell you better not, folks. This man that's speaking here tonight is illiterate. I can barely read or write. And I ain't joking with you. I thank the Lord uses me. See, I depend so much more on the Lord. Too many smart men stand behind the pulpit. Too much education. That's what it's about, folks. Too much education. Oh, certainly they can preach the word of God. Second hand. People don't pray down a message today on the knees. You know what to do? They Google it. That's the problem today in the churches. They Google it. And second-hand messages are coming from the pulpit. Certainly it sounds good. I don't believe the Lord will use it. Let's get back to the old paths. Jeremiah 6 and 16, the old paths, folks. That's what's needed today in the 24th century. Caught up with everything but the right thing. Folks, I haven't come to here to be popular tonight. I don't want to hear the well done of man. As long as I speak the truth, because the Bible says the truth, listen, shall set them free. The truth shall set them free. Me and my wife went to Fia House, and here I'm starting to tell a story after telling too many stories behind the pulpit, but this is part of my testimony. We went to Fia House, folks. I'm not an easy scared man, believe you me. But I'm telling you something, I was never as glad to get out of that home 4 years ago. The state agent took us through it, big bit built onto the back of the church, or the back of the house, and I'm sure he thought this was going to sell this house. Folks, he opened up the door and there was a massive pool table. And a big massive TV screwed to the wall. Do you know the sewer now that runs under our house? Keeps us away from the secret closet. Do you know what I'm talking about? EastEnders. You don't call to go to a pub anymore. You don't call to get into a brothel anymore. EastEnders. That's all you need to watch. And yet Christians are screwed into that. And then we'll wonder why the Lord's not moving. Disaster. Every one of us, including this man. But praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. The Lord took me away from it. I've had a vision. Lord, open up my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, it's a very dangerous thing to pray that. Because you see, when the Lord opens up your eyes and you see the state of the church, it vexes you. You see, in my church, I'm known as somebody probably not wise, to be quite honest with you. You know, Monday night we had a prayer meeting, three men. Started at 8 o'clock, no time at the end of that, folks. 1:45. But yet, sadly, in our church, when it comes to 9:15, we can hear the rustling and the fussling. See, you need to go home and watch the news or whatever. Spirit of God, we've had you here for 45 or an hour and 15 minutes. Please leave. That's not what's about, folks. See, when the Spirit of God comes, let me tell you something. You're about in that aisle crying your heart out. But let me get back to that home, folks. Do you know what feared me in that house? Was the plaque on the wall. And you listen to what it said in that. If there's no beer in heaven, I don't want to be there. Whew. If there's no beer in heaven, I don't want to be there. Praise the Lord that not only is there no beer in heaven, but there's not even a smell of it. But let me tell you something. There's fountains of living water, folks. We shall never thirst again. But till Satan listening in and till his demons tonight, listen on now, Satan. There's also no beer in hell. Listen. In fact, there's not even a drop of water. Not even a drop of water. Do you ever open up your Bibles and study Luke 16, verses 19 through to 31? Do you remember the rich man had everything? Absolutely everything. But yet here we see him crying. That first cry, folks, you listened to it very carefully. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Torment. Torments. Oh, folks, listen to me. You hear the cry from hell? Saying Lazarus, the old beggar. Saint Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger, listen, folks, in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Folks, that ought to make us shake. That ought to make us tremble. But sadly today, folks, I don't see any more trembling. I really don't, folks. I don't see any weeping. I remember as a young boy at 7 years of age, 8 years of age, going to a prayer meeting with my mom and dad. And I couldn't understand why they were weeping. Everybody was weeping. crying, naming names steady, crying unto the Lord. And then I realized whenever the Sunday come, I seen them coming up the aisle down to Woolly McCrae's church, coming up in their droves. It wasn't the ones and the twos, folks. It was coming up in their tens. May the Lord get us back to those days of revival. In wrath, Habakkuk says, in wrath, Lord, please remember mercy. But folks, you remember the second cry from that rich man? And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Listen, and send Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brethren, lest they also come to this awful place of torments. Do you remember the reply? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them believe them. Oh, no, but if one come back from the dead, Father Abraham, if Lazarus come back from the dead, I know that they would repent. One has come back from the dead, and his name is Jesus. And you're probably sitting here tonight, folks, and listening to me. It's just a fairy story to tell you. It's far from it. The night the Lord saved me, you listen. I wasn't standing at church. No pastor saved this man. I was ready to go out as a doorman at 18 and a half stone. No fear of God when the Lord saved me. So no man can tell me there's no such thing as the Spirit of Almighty God. No man can tell me that. And folks, that's the way I come here tonight. Not to boast and blow about this half-wit here, because this is all this half-wit was for 35 years. No thought for people. And there's a wife, I thank the Lord, that the Lord blessed me with a good lady. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Because nobody would have stuck this man. Rested. We boy at five crying. Don't take that away. GBH. That's the kind of house we had. Cursing steady. Wrecking. Pits going everywhere. And then you wonder why I stand here with a broken heart. Folks, listen to me. The main reason why I'm here tonight is to warn you about your soul. No other reason. The Word of God declares in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let's break that down into three parts. And the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground. Folks, what are we in the flesh? I tell you what we are. We're dustly beings. It says over there in chapter 3, from dust thou art and unto dust thou shalt return. That's all we are in the flesh, dustly beings. You know, the second part of that says, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Every heartbeat is given here this evening, folks, listen to me, is given from Almighty God. Do you ever thank the Lord for sparing you for another day? No, folks, you're probably like myself. You just take it for granted. But I want you to listen to this last part, folks, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. You know, your soul is the most precious thing that you own. Because your soul will never cease to exist. The old flesh shall die and it will waste away. And Job tells us that in Job 14 and verse 10. But man dieth and man wasteth away. Yea, man give up the ghost, the soul. And the question is, where is he? An impact of death, your soul will determine where you will spend all of life's eternity. God's heaven or God's hell. And folks, Mark 8 and 36 tells us, what shall a profit a man if shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? As a young boy, I knew this. Brought up in a very godly home. Sent to Sunday school. Every meeting that was going, Keith Sheens was sure to be sitting at the front along with my brother and my sister. Dragged out to every meeting. I hated it. But I thank the Lord that my father was faithful to the Word of God. Train up a child in the way she'll go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. But sadly, folks, I departed from it for 35 years. You know, I could say like Timothy of old, as from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which was able to make thee wise unto salvation. And truly, I benefit out of that scripture, folks, at the age of 35, stand outside a club. But you know, Satan's subtle. Satan's subtle. Satan will probably tell you that man up at the front's cuckoo. Fair enough. He's probably right there. But I'm cuckoo for the Lord. But folks, listen to me very carefully. As a young boy sitting in a meeting on Wooly McCrae preaching his heart out. And way back in them days, listen, Wooly McCrae with tears preaching. But folks, I want to tell you something. Satan come to me at a very young age. And I'll never forget it. He says to me, Keith, you could not be going to hell. What that man's preaching from that pulpit, he's not speaking about you. He's speaking about the sinners. You're not a sinner, Keith. The Word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not included Keith Shanes. No, but Keith, you're too young to be a sinner. Let me tell you what a sinner is. A sinner is somebody that grows up and goes out into the pubs and the clubs, takes drugs and drink. Now let me tell you something, that's what a sinner is. Folks, I want to say something tonight. I was a sinner from birth. I was a sinner from birth. The Word of God says in Psalm 51 and verse 5, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Sinner from my mother's womb. But you know, as I got a bit older, I developed two fears in my life. And those two fears was death and judgment. Nobody had to tell this boy that he was never going to die. I knew one day that I was going to die. That always feared me. I remember many a night crying in bed. I wonder would I see mommy and daddy in the morning or would they die? Nobody ever knew about that, folks. I remember filling that pillow with tears. You know, the Word of God says in Hebrews 9 and 27, it's appointed unto man that wants to die and after this the judgment. Romans 14 and 12 goes on to say, So then, every one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Folks, that's every one of us. Praise the Lord, tonight, those that are redeemed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will not stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for their sins. Because the Bible declares, On their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. But let me tell you something, my friends. You'll stand and you'll give an account for your works, what you've done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get that muddled up, folks. Because if it's muddled up, it'll take you to hell. Too many people living on their works and a false profession today. And I'm serious. Said a wee bit of a prayer. Lord, come into my heart, amen. I'm saved. I've taken it to heaven. That's not true salvation, folks. That's a deceit from Satan. And let me tell you something. That's the way the Lord Jesus Christ spoke it in the Sermon on the Mount. So many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord. Did I not prophesy in thy name? Even done many wonderful works, cast out devils. What did the Lord say? Never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. Never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed. And everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Can I tell you what salvation is? Repentance. The most mightiest preacher in the world apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. He preached repentance, folks. Turning away fully from your sins. Realizing that you're lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. But no doubt Satan's at his work here tonight in your mind. Anybody that's in here is not saved. I've no hesitation. But folks, as I say, as I got a lot older, those fears started to drift away. Sadly, those fears drifted away in my life. No more fear of death or no more fear of judgment. You see, we almost need to die, folks, all because of the fall in the Garden of Eden over 6,000 years ago. Remember the first Adam? He rebelled in the garden. What did he do? He brought sin and death into this world. But praise the Lord, the last Adam being the Lord Jesus Christ, he submitted in the Garden of Gethsemane. And praise be to his glorious name, he brought salvation for all who would believe. I'm asking you tonight, folks, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? But praise the Lord, tonight at the age of 44, I have no fear of death. No fear whatsoever of death. And I want to say something tonight, folks. How would you like to die? Did you ever think about death when you come to death's door? How would you like to die? I think about the greatest motorbike rider, Joey Dunlop. And you know why Joey Dunlop was so loved, folks? Because he's a unique man and he was a very humble man. No boasting and blowing with Joey Dunlop. Sure, there wasn't truly. Just a humble creature, just. spoke as it was, always embarrassed in front of the cameras. They asked Joey this question, you know. This is Joey. We finished this interview. We want to ask you a question. You'll probably find this strange, Joey, but we're going to ask it to you anyway. How would you like to die? And folks, Joey smiled. And he says, suppose what I love doing best. And that's riding my motorbike. We know that Joey died. I don't know where Joey's at. Let every man examine himself. But folks, many years later, that same man that done that interview said exactly the same thing to his brother, Robert. He says, you know, Robert, many years ago we interviewed your brother. And we've come to the last bit of this interview, and I'm going to ask you the same question. And they tell me there was an awful crowd around that day listening in this interview. TV cameras and all, in fact. I think it might have been an Isle of Man. Says, Robert, how would you like to die? Let me tell you something, folks. To the amazement of all those people that stood around there, Robert Dunlop says, I would like to die a Christian. I would like to die a Christian. I don't know if Robert died a Christian or not, folks. But praise the Lord for us as the redeemed of God. We should have no fear of death. We should be rejoicing to go to that place called heaven, folks. Absent from the body. Oh, it's making me shake, folks. Present with the Lord. Do you know what the book of Psalms 116 says? Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of the saints. I've often said this, folks, I'm prepared to leave this scene of time if it was to call one soul to the Lord. I truly mean that. Praise the Lord, our brother Robert has seen his Savior face to face. Well done, Robert, my good and faithful servant. Sadly, tonight, folks, it's the wife and the children. You know, we had a mighty night down in our brother's church just before Christmas. A mighty night. I remember speaking at that church, and I remember standing out the front with Robert. God bless this old saint of God. She was an old lady. She took me by the hand, and I can mind her looking up into my face. She says, you know, you're okay of a speaker, but she says you're too long-winded. I felt like saying to her, sister, do you not know I'm a free Presbyterian? But folks, how Satan played in my mind, even what's saying that to me. I remember Robert's wife coming out to the door. My wife was sitting in the church. And she says, Keith, come in, there's a lady looking to speak to you. I remember going in and the lady was sitting at this side. She was broken, folks. Holy water, tears of repentance was trickling from that lady. I had an opportunity of lifting the scriptures and going into the minister's room and leading her to the Lord. That's my last memory of her brother Robert. Man that loved the Lord, folks. A unique man. But folks, we all must needs die. And I was just thinking, and I believe the Lord wants me to say this tonight again. There's an old lady died from Ballymena. Her husband was a pastor. They say for 2 or 3 days she couldn't even speak. Death's door. Husband was holding on to her hand. And she was leaving the scene of time. And the story goes like this. The pastor's hand, he could feel her hand pulling to one side. And she lifted her hands towards heaven, folks. And this was her last words in this scene of time. She says, Joe, do you see him? Isn't he beautiful? And they say she took one sigh. And her hands dropped by her side. And she left the scene of time. They tell me when that lady was lying in that casket, they tell me she's that same smile. That's not powerful, folks. Hey, it's so different. Listen to me, folks, leaving this scene of time without the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean so different. Go you into Woolly McCrae's testimony, do you hear, but his Uncle George that was leaving this scene of time. Man that knew the Bible. You see, this is one thing that Satan hit me with. I believe this is the greatest lie of all. He's a book of lies, folks, and let me tell you something, he'll go right through them all to keep you from giving your life to Christ. And one of those lies was this in my life. Wait till you're 50 or 60 and give your life to Christ. You're making too much money, raw cash. You'll never do without all that money. He says, wait till you're 50 or 60, or even better than that, give your life to Christ on your deathbed. Here was a man called George, had come to death's door. Do you know his last cry? Oh hell. Oh hell, oh hell. Go you into William McCrae's testimony to hear it. Oh hell, oh hell, oh hell. I wonder why he just didn't cry out, Lord, save me, a sinner. I'll tell you why, folks. This is going to sound strange. But let's go back to the word of God. Isaiah 55 and 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And call ye upon him while he's near. Folks, the Lord's not always near. He's not always found. Go listen to the lies of Satan. Do you see if the Spirit of God's prompting you at the minute? With your sins? I'm telling you something. Now you cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that doesn't always happen. That doesn't always happen. You'll hear what broke me, the verse that broke me now very shortly, folks. But here, as I get older, two dreams. Doorman, bouncer. Strong man, strong man. And this was my God. 4, 5, 6 nights a week training. 18 and a half stone, competing all over. Won the 105 Northern Ireland strongest man. Was supposed to go across to Essex in England to represent Northern Ireland. And Britain's strongest man. Full of needles in me. Steroids, cheater. But they were all like that. No time for God. Why did I need God in my life whenever everything was going well? See, that's a trick of Satan. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Proverbs tells us. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Why? For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But folks, 27th of the 3rd, 2005, on Easter Sunday night, never near a church from the age of 15, rebelled big time, broke my mother and father's heart. My father's an elder in Calvary Free Presbyterian Church, Cecil Shields. Broke his heart. 15 years of age, that was me. No more church business for me. I thank the Lord tonight that the Lord didn't take me at my word. Because I'm telling you something now, I might as well have been in hell. But 1 month previous before that, folks, the 27th of the 3rd, 2005, 1 month, standing outside the Black Horse, a den of iniquity, 3 deaths outside this place. This is where the travelling community drunk. And there's a hostel. And this is where these people drunk because they were barred out of every other bar. And here I was with Big Spearsy, or else Francis Campbell. Can I tell you something, folks? The greatest work in the church today is this, apart from prayer. You ask me what the greatest work is in the church? Prayer meeting. What's the second thing? Outreach. What's the third thing? Preaching in the pulpit. You'll want more souls getting out like the Lord Jesus Christ did. This is what broke me. Brother, press you on with giving out gospel lecture. I'm telling you now. As they were coming down to go into that club land next door from the Black Horse, they were taking God's word and they were ripping it up. And the two fears come back into my life again. No thought of God. Do they not realize one day that they're going to die? They're going to leave this scene of time? Do they not realize that there's a hell? This is going through my mind. And the Spirit of God says, Keith, you're no better than what they are. In fact, you're worse because you know the gospel. Folks, 35 years of age, trembling. I remember going across and lifting up the gospel tracts that wasn't ripped up one heartbeat away from heaven or hell. And I remember coming back to that door again. And I'm telling you something now. The Spirit of God worked in a mighty and a powerful way. But true to the Word of God, it says when the seed's planted, Satan comes along to take away the seed. It was the roughest night next door in Clubland. Bus loads come from Andersontown, wrecking session. And that's the last thing I was thinking about. Salvation. But folks, 1 month later was the 27th of 3rd, 2005, Easter Sunday, coming down the stairs. And I remember, wow, I love this, but this is my testimony now, folks. Praise be to Almighty God. It was the day of my new birth. I remember coming down the stairs. I remember lying in the black seat, what I used to do. I would have fed at 1 o'clock. I would have slept at 5 o'clock. Then I would have something to eat and then slept again until it was 10 o'clock, ready to go on to the door work again. But you know, the Lord had different plans. Because after dinner, folks, listen to this. Here is love so amazing, so divine. Demands my soul, my life, and my all. Because whenever I started to dwell on that blessed man called Jesus, it melted my soul. I remember thinking of why did that beautiful man of Calvary, why did he have to come down to endure all what he had? Folks, do you know something? We cannot preach this, but we ought to believe it in faith. You know, why do we not weep whenever we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ's sufferings? I don't understand. I don't believe in acting. But we need to be broken whenever we start speaking about the Savior. Because when I seen what he had to endure for Keith Shields, that's what broke me. Do you remember old Pontius Pilate? You know, we're all old Pontius Pilates, to be quite honest with you. I find no fault in this man. But you know what he was prepared to do? He was prepared to go with the crowd. He was prepared to go with the crowd, folks. We read what happened to my lovely Savior in that common hall. 600 Roman soldiers, they all took their go, spit upon him. Let me tell you something. Whereabouts was all the ones that he healed? He stood alone. He stood alone, folks. You'll read nowhere in the four Gospels, listen, that the Lord Jesus Christ done anything for himself. Nowhere in the four Gospels did the Lord Jesus Christ do anything for himself. It was always for others. And here I see him standing in that common hall being mocked, whipped, beaten for an old rascal like Keith Shields. Folks, I want to tell you something. For the first time in my life, I tried to hold back the tears. I didn't want to show it in front of my wife. You see, I thought I was the hard man. And what amazed me, folks, listening to me, was the story that I heard years ago. There's no love like the love of Jesus. After all those Roman soldiers, those old Pharisees, the religious men of that day, his first cry on the cross of Calvary was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Folks, can you not see the love of Jesus tonight? Adored in heaven, the angels adored him, but yet chose to come down to save a fallen race. My wife said to me, Keith, what time are you supposed to be on that tonight? Folks, I couldn't even speak. There's a lump in my throat. I remember trying to hide back the tears, and I says, I'm supposed to be on at 10 o'clock. I remember getting up at the seat, folks, and I remember going up into the bathroom. And I can tell you something now. I was in many a battle with the fists and the feet. Trust me. And it was the biggest battle I was ever in for 15 minutes in that bathroom. How Satan says to me, you know, Keith, what you're going to do is you're going to make a mockery. You're never going to be able to keep this. Well, believe it or not, folks, he was telling the truth there for a change, Satan. It's not ours to keep. When the Lord saves, he keeps. Don't you think you could keep it? That's through the grace of God, folks. Don't you think that you're a mighty man or a woman of God? It's the grace of God that keeps us every day. You see, if Satan had his way, he'd want to sift Keith Shields like wheat. But praise the Lord Jesus Christ said to Simon Peter, but I have prayed for thee. That's what I depend on every day, the grace of God to keep me going. The grace of God to keep me going. You know something, folks? Satan says to me in the bathroom too, you know what all your friends are going to do, all them big doormen. You know what they're going to do? They're going to laugh at you, Keith. They think you've went soft. Let me tell you something, your friends will laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out of it. They'll never laugh you out of it. I remember the tears running out of my eyes, and I remember going in. And just before I left that bathroom, the Lord only spoke the once. Folks, he only had to speak the once. Genesis 6 and verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. If you want to know exactly what that means, folks, if the Spirit of God striving here tonight, and you were to reject the Spirit of God, it could be your last time. You could be like that man that left this scene of time. Wasn't able to cry out unto the Lord because he wasn't found or he wasn't near. That's what a preaching house is about. I remember going into the bathroom, leaving the bathroom, going into the spare room. And there where I thought the Bibles were kept, folks, in the bottom drawer. I remember pulling open the bottom drawer. And I remember I couldn't even find a Bible. And how Satan says to me, you see, Keith, tonight's not the right night. You can't find the Bible. You prayed to the Lord in the bathroom to give you one more verse, and you can't find a Bible. And folks, the sweat was running out of me, and I could not find a Bible. And I was starting to believe the lies of Satan. Until I lifted out 8 sheets of paper. A young man had a concern for my soul when I was 14 or 15 at church. And I wrote them out, folks. I don't even know how they got there. But this is what I pulled out from the bottom drawer. And the 8th sheet was sitting at the top. And you know what it said? Just how to give your life to the Savior. I wept like a baby. I remember saying, Lord, spare me just till I get to the top of Slade Galleon. I want to surrender my life to you. I remember going, coming down the stairs, getting the car keys. And I remember going up that road. And folks, I couldn't even get to the top of Slade Galleon, that mountain. Because an awful fear came over. I still haven't repented. If the Lord was to return, or if I was to have an accident or take a heart attack, I still haven't repented. I remember pulling on a wee side road. And I remember throwing my head on top of that steering wheel. And I remember praying the sinner's prayer, Lord, just forgive me for every sin I've ever committed against thee. And you know what the promise was? He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But yet Satan was still at his tricks. You think the Lord could see thee as easy as that? Praise the Lord, I believe it. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth, keeps, shields from all sin, past, present, and future. I remember coming up that road driving, and I can tell you something now, folks. I felt the change. There wasn't a bright light shone under the car, but the Spirit of God moved in, took residence in my heart. You know something, I love Him with all my heart tonight, folks. I can assure you now. You ask me what's the pleasures of sin, I'll tell you what it is. It's for a season. I have bodyguarded Jordan. And for those that don't know her, thanks be to Almighty God that you don't know her. I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, Kerry McFadden. I bodyguarded her whenever she came to Northern Ireland. They're the most depressed people that you ever met. It's all a show, folks. See when the lights is on, it's all a massive show. The drugs is going on, you see. See when the drugs start to wear out, you see the difference, folks. I've seen it at first hand. I've seen Kerry McFadden cry. Yet, doesn't Satan paint the picture massive? Glosses it all up. Folks, I'm telling you something now, there's no pleasure in sin. Britney Spears, 15 years of age, tipped to be the next Madonna. Britney Spears, at 15, a millionaire. Why on 4 occasions did Britney Spears try to commit suicide? I'll tell you why, folks. There was a void missing in her life. There's a void missing in each and every one of her lives. And that void is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way the Lord Jesus Christ says, I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Folks, I must finish. I spoke of 2 fears, 2 dreams. I must finish with 2 promises. And maybe your heart's heavy and you've been searching for rest. Matthew 11 and 28, beautiful. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Listen, and I will give you rest. And he that cometh unto me, the promise is, I will in no ways cast out. Romans 10 and 13. Listen, folks. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That takes you in tonight. For whosoever. You know, what a promise. Just to think tonight that you could leave with a new birth. You remember John 3 and 3? Except a man be born again. I think you'll have it out here. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You need that new birth, folks. Without that new birth, you're going to be damned in hell. And I plead with you tonight just to call upon him, just in case tomorrow's too late. You see, folks, the Word of God says in Proverbs 21 and 7, I've already mentioned it. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Life's short. And James reminds us of that in James 4 and 14. For what is your life? That's only a vapor that appears for a short time, and then it vanisheth away. Clock of life, small poem. The clock of life has wound but once, and no man had the power to tell just when the hand will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. But to lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. Listen, my friends. 39 people died while I read that short poem. Every 1 hour, 5,417 people go to meet their Maker. Believer, listen. What are you doing to reach them with the gospel ere they're cast into hell? Whew. 24 doormen, 1 doorman out of it. A a fellow called Francis Campbell. I mentioned him earlier. And one of the most beautiful fellows that I have ever met. He would give you the last bite out of his mouth, folks. And Francis has done door work with me for many years. He's a Roman Catholic. And I remember we were just in from church, and I remember Francis phoning me. And Francis says, "Keith, how are you getting on?" He had a wild habit of saying, "The crack's good. The crack's good." Folks, let me tell you something. I had the opportunity of speaking to that Roman Catholic man on the phone for 15 minutes as a newborn babe, just only saved 2 weeks. And I remember explaining to Francis that, you know, Francis, every priest that standeth daily, often offering up the same sacrifice for sins, listen, can never take them away. But this man, the Bible says, this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered up one sacrifice for sins, sat down at the right hand of God. You know, the word of God tells me in Proverbs 14 and 12, listen, folks, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. That's the ways of Satan. But the end thereof are the ways of death. You know the good news tonight, folks? This is the good news. The good news is in John 14, verse 6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But folks, that phone call, listen to me very carefully. I remember coming off that phone, and I remember going to an independent Methodist mission. It was a tent mission at the roundabout. A newborn babe just wanted to be fed. And there was a converted Roman Catholic who was giving his testimony from Paul Glass that night. And I couldn't even concentrate. All I could think was, why did I not have Francis into this meeting to hear this man speak, a converted Roman Catholic? And this kept going over my head as this brother was speaking. I remember when the meeting was over, I remember coming up to the front, and I says, "Brother, I says, you wouldn't have a copy of your testimony." I says, "I was speaking to a friend. He used to do door work with me. I'm only saved 2 weeks, and I just wish I had him here." You know what he says to me? "It's okay. It's okay." He says, "I've got a copy out in the car." I remember going out into that car to receive that copy to go and give that to Francis Campbell. And with this, I finish, folks. Francis Campbell had no call to be standing doing door work, because he reminds me so much of the rich man in hell. Had everything materially. Francis Campbell was left a massive farm. Sold two plots of land, got over 200,000. Lived in a beautiful home, drove a lovely car, was going with a lovely wee girl from Australia. And when I was working with Francis, he was hiding an awful disease in him. I never got given Francis that word of testimony. I get the phone call from Padraig O'Kane, another doorman. He says, "Did you hear about Francis?" I says, "I didn't." The big farm at Francis was left. He came out one Tuesday morning, and he went down, and he took a rope, and he committed suicide. And yet, you are still in the day of grace. No doubt Francis is lost. Amos 4 and 12 says, "Prepare to meet thy God. No better place than the house of the Lord." Joshua stood over 3,500 years ago in front of the children of Israel. And he put this plea out in front of them. He says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." But truly, I want to finish it off. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen.
...261. I'd like to thank our brother tonight for coming and sharing what the Lord has done for him and what the Lord means to him as his Saviour and as his Lord. And if you're here tonight and God has been speaking to you, you know things are not right between you and God, then I urge you, I plead with you to come to the Lord tonight, to call upon him. This could be your last night. This could be your last opportunity. This could be your last meeting to get right with God. David says there's but a step between me and death. That's all there is. You and I are just one breath away from eternity. Prepare to meet God. You should call upon the Lord tonight. Don't go home without him. know your sins forgiven. I know what it is to be saved and ready for heaven. If you'd like to speak to our brother after the meeting, he'll be in no hurry away. Only too glad to open up the Word of God with you and share with you from the Word of God how you can be saved. How you can be right with God. No preacher, no man can save, but there's one in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is mighty to save. And the Bible says He's waiting to save. The Bible says He's willing to save. Oh, that you would not reject Him. Maybe there's a backslider tonight. Once you walk close to the Lord, but you're far from the Lord tonight. Come back to the Lord. He says, I'll restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. And He'll bless you. And He'll use you again. 261, it says, in times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. We'll sing the first and the last verse. Verses 1 and 3, standing to sing and thinking of the words as we sing them. I know that you would make sure tonight that you're in Christ, that you're saved, and that you're ready for heaven and ready for glory. 261, we'll stand as we sing. Thank Thee, Lord, tonight for Thy presence. We thank Thee for Thy speaking voice. We thank Thee for help given to Thy servant as he sought to deliver his soul and to tell what Thou hast done and what Thou canst do. We thank Thee for saving our brother. Bless him. Lead him on with God. And we pray, O God, that his testimony might be like that man of Gadara, that even through it, O God, many more might come to the Lord and trust the Lord as Savior. And Father, we pray for those in our meeting tonight and they're still not saved. Lord, speak to them tonight. Lord, disturb the sleep of death within their soul. May they cry out to the Lord for mercy. We thank that there's mercy with the Lord. We thank Thee that Thou art a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God who pardons sin, a God who saves for time and for eternity. We pray for the backslider tonight, O God, the one that has wandered far from the Lord. Lord, bring them back to Thyself, to their first love with God. Lord, speak on, we pray. Part us with Your fear and Your favor. Take us to our homes in safety. And glorify Thy name, O God, by Thy mighty, matchless grace, even in all our lives. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen.